Trying to come up with something here to play to get you in the Christmas spirit. It's just so dangerous and just really kind of dicey to be, you know, playing any kind of Christmas songs. It's just fraught with risk for me as a host. I mean, you know, I don't want to get in trouble and offend somebody. Yeah, so I went with this selection. I'd love to know what you think. It's just hoping just nobody possibly could hopefully be offended by this. But although there may be ways I haven't thought of. You ready for this? Because it's 12 days before Christmas. We got to get in this Christmas spirit somehow, right? I mean, there's got to be something left we can play.
Frosty the Snow Person was a gender-neutral soul. Nothing between his thighs you could theorize. He's like a Ken doll, I am told. Frosty the Snow Person was neither trans, bi, straight, or gay. It comes as no surprise he was made of ice. That's just the way snow people are made. There was no real magic in that old silk hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, he said, "Whoa, where did you get this hat? Why would you put some strange geezer's old-timey hat on my head? Boundaries, people. Boundaries." Frosty the Snow Person, yet not one grown-up would gripe that their kids would play and hang out all day with the snow adult smoking a pipe.
There you go. Brought inoffensively to you to celebrate this holiday season of holidays that may or may not be Christmas. This is ridiculous. No. Our culture is ridiculous. You can laugh at our stupid culture now. You want proof? Here you go. George Mason University. Campus Reform does. I love when they do these. I just drawn to them like moth to light. You know the baby it's cold outside controversy? You've heard that song. And the guy's trying to get her to stay. Come on, it's cold outside. Come on, baby. You know, blah, blah, blah. You've heard that Christmas song probably all your life. Well, now it is suddenly too offensive to play. Oh, by the way, did you hear all these radio stations banned it? And so what happened? Of course, people start downloading it, and downloads went through the roof. So now more people are listening to it than before. But anyway, take a listen. So he goes out there, and he's asking these young snowflakes. He's asking me, baby, it's cold outside. Do you think it's offensive? I mean, should we ban it? Should we change the lyrics? And not surprisingly, as you'll hear in the beginning of this, they agreed. But wait till you hear what he asked them after that and what they thought about it. Take a listen.
Let's hear your thoughts. Do you think it's misogynist in the era that we live in today to sing it?
I think it definitely is.
I think it needs to be adapted. You know, it's a totally different cultural time. We view a lot of things differently. So some of the lyrics are very suggestive. And you listen to it multiple times, you can definitely get a sort of vibe from the song that's just unacceptable.
We need to change the lyrics and not completely get rid of it. But,
suggestions like, hey, maybe stay if you want, maybe don't stay if you don't want.
I don't know how we would do that.
So I really don't know the song, but if it's doing something that's gonna like really mess up social media, I think it should be removed.
Definitely, take it off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Clarify.
Okay, can't have it on campus.
If that's how it's making some people feel, then maybe there is a point we should be looking into.
I don't take offense to it, but I could see how people would.
There is a lot of undertones of spiking drinks in the sense of, like, having the woman, like, convincing her to stay.
All right, so they're asking about, he's asking these young snowflake college students, hey, you know, should we ban Baby It's Cold Outside? Yeah, get it off campus, change the lyrics. Then he asks them about rap.
Would you delete maybe all the rap and country music off your iTunes, because that might be massage.
I definitely see that side, but like, I was like, I don't know. This sounds bad, but like, that song only comes out once a year, like that one time of the year. Whereas rap is kind of like all
problematic year round.
And so maybe it should be phased out a little bit more. But like, I also listen to a lot of rap, so there's that.
And with rap, it's not acceptable, but it's kind of a different kind of lifestyle.
Oh, so okay.
The misogyny is a little more acceptable because it's not Christmas time.
It's a very good way of pointing it out.
Everything is like subjective to that audience. So if like if you break down anything, it could be offensive to this person or that person. So I don't know. I mean, as long as like you're living a life in which like you're not discriminating on like race or anything like that,
Christmas
I think that's
songs.
Fine. Is it just Christmas songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby outside's got to go. It's misogynistic. You know, maybe the problem is that the guy didn't say, baby, it's cold outside, you witch. But with a B. Yeah, like they would have done if they were the rap version of it. And then they'd be like, oh, yeah, cool. Non-Christmas misogyny. The kind we all like. No, no, no. See, that's a misogynistic culture. We love misogynistic culture. Wait, what? Okay. No, 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 no. We can't ban rap. Are you kidding me? Baby, it's cold outside. Totally innocent compared to rap. We can't get rid of that. That would be, what would it be? Empowering for women, certainly. I mean, if we're going to throw, I mean, if the Princeton a cappella group cannot sing the Little Mermaid song because it says kiss the girl, then what on earth, I mean, why is there still rap allowed? There's not. It's just, texture writes, these snowflakes kill me. Girls sext images all the time. Rush said porn sites are closing because younger guys get better images on their phone all the time from women. Texter writes, Tara, Santa lost a hoe. It's a great Christmas song by the Christmas Jug Band. I've never heard it. I'll take your word for it. It's from their Uncorked album. No Disney here. Texter writes, Tara, I think Santa Baby song sounds like a gold digging tramp. But if I'm the guy in the It's Cold Outside song, she's the one I want to stay. So you can't say that. You can't say that. Unless you're making a rap album. In which case, it's fine. You can throw in some profanity to describe the hoe and it'll be fine. Oh, yeah, I do listen to that. I actually love that girl. Yeah, we should totally. I mean, if it offends somebody, we should kick Baby It's Cold Outside off campus. We should be right to where. Do you have rap? Do you listen to rap? Yeah, I do. Well, why don't you wipe that off here? Listening device. I don't think we can do that. Okay. Sure. Texture writes, if you get rid of rap, that would be racist. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. We're not really serious about misogyny. We're not really. No. Because a little misogyny is good as long as it's coming from the right people. Do I have that right? Texture writes, misogynistic? Look, I'm not going there with you. All right. Joseph calling in to comment on the local preacher buying his lovely wife, who he says he loves very much, the $200,000 Lamborghini for their anniversary.
Merry Christmas, baby. It's cold outside.
Yes, it is.
Well, let me say real quick. The reason they're not going after rap is because they're black, and we all know it. You can go to the Dollar Tree, and you can buy a complete Bible, Old and New Testament, for $1. That would have given people 200,000 Bibles to read. That's all I got to say about that. Really quick, why are the senators so upset about this irrelevant journalist from Saudi Arabia? They were not one billionth of concern with our Benghazi people being killed and dragged through the streets. Now, were they?
No. No, why? And never forget, Joseph, the pictures. One of the most disgusting things I've seen. Of everybody gathering in Saudi Arabia. And it was when I think with the king or the prince, or one of them died, I forget. And I mean, Condoleezza Rice is there, Colin Powell, the Bushes, the Obamas, they're flocking around, they're kissing rear end. These are the people who funded the murder of 3,000 of us.
Did you know?
And they did not care, but they care about Khashoggi. Go ahead.
They got cattle prods. I forgot the guy's, the ambassador's name in Benghazi. I forgot his name, but they got cattle prods and stuck it in places we can't discuss. And I didn't see a single senator have one-tenth of the anger about that. And those other three poor guys with this irrelevant, stupid, idiot Saudi journalist who I could care less about. They care. This world is crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's all a matter of perspective, Joseph. And since Americans are not often given perspective, well, this is what we're left with. Thank you very much. Texter writes, what is the difference in snowmen and snow women? Oh, text their answer, snowballs. I know. Text, right? Oh, I like this one too. The song Santa Baby has a woman seducing Santa. So what's the difference? It's okay when a woman does it. You know what happened 10 years ago today? Now, of course, you don't know because nobody in the media is talking about it because it didn't come true. So they're pretending it didn't happen. Al Gore predicted the North Pole would be completely ice-free. Yep, 10 years ago today, December 13th, 2008. Junk scientist Al Gore predicted the North Pole the North Polar ice cap would be completely ice-free because, you know, as you remember, it was just going to get so hot that we had to spend trillions of dollars fighting it while letting everybody else pollute but us and transferring our money to the countries that were polluting because somehow that stops global warming, except it doesn't. Yep. Again, Gore made the prediction to a German audience, who no doubt paid him well, on December 13th, 2008, and warned the entire North Pole cap would disappear. It did not happen. Not even close. Some of the models, he said, suggest there is a 75% chance the entire North Polar ice cap during some of the southern summer months could be completely ice-free, he said. Meanwhile, this year, it snowed in South Africa. A blizzard. First one they've had in modern recorded history. But, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, he could still be right someday. Although I doubt it.
Okay.
Natasha, hold on. Hey, are you there, Natasha?
Yes.
Good, good, good. Okay, you're calling in about Preacher Gray and his wife's new car.
I am calling in about that. And the reason I'm calling in about that is some of the comments that are made are pretty hypocritical, you know, when you establish your own money and not church money from other incomes. You're allowed to spend it on what you want to. I don't know if the people that are making the text comments actually go to the church, which I do.
Okay.
And 2 weeks ago, what he did was he took the complete tithes and offerings of the church, set them up front, and allowed any single mother, any single father, any disabled, anyone in the church that needed money to come up there and take what they needed out of the baskets. Period. No questions asked.
And Natasha, I've been reading both sides of this. Okay, so there've been people on both sides of this.
Right.
Okay. And because we do not know for certain. Do you know, has he addressed the church in any way, what the source of the money for the Lamborghini he bought, the minister bought his wife, was? It's a $200,000 Lamborghini. Was it his? Has he said that it did not come from church funds donated by people?
From our church funds.
It's not.
Our church funds are going back to our people.
Okay, you know that for
that
sure.
Statement also. He's made that statement also that this is going, because this is a brand new church for him. So they're still building it. But in the process of still building it, because he took over a lot of debt with the church. So in the process of still building that, he's planning on still going out to our community, building church, building houses for people that do not have them, helping single mothers get cars that don't have them, helping them with the things. People need to go back and listen to the service that he did 2 Sundays ago and listen to the word that he's preaching and stop focusing on the fact that he might want to buy his wife a nice, fabulous car because she is a wonderful woman who has helped him come up and supported him their whole marriage. And they also need to teach the fact, and from a personal point of view, he preached at a teen convention when my son was 14 years old, and my son was extremely lost in life. And had it not been for his service, had it not been for his realism and his way that he approaches Christianity, my son would have never been saved and never would have turned his life around. So I'm highly on his side. And to watch him let people come down to the pulpit and take out of the tithe, it didn't matter what they took. They took what they needed. If they needed 20, if they needed 40, if they needed 100, he gave it to them that day on the spot. Nothing went back into the church that day. Nothing, not one penny.
Okay, and Natasha,
you don't see in churches nowadays.
Right, and by the way, that also made the news as well, made the Greenville News as well. So we're talking about the local minister who gave his wife, his pastor John Gray, gave his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini on Instagram. Again, he has many sources of income, and nobody knows exactly how he paid for it, including his successful online television ministry, movies he's done, stuff like that. So he does have other sources of income that he might have used to pay for the Lamborghini. Nobody knows which one he used. And somebody brilliantly put this earlier, and it's an interesting question, pointing out with a link that when Billy Graham, who's revered, died, he was worth $25 million. One of the ninth richest ministers in all of U.S. history. The ninth richest minister in all of U.S. history. So $25 million, I mean, that's a lot of net worth. Is the problem the net worth? The problem that he has amassed the funds? We hope through his legitimate success. We don't know. Or is the problem that he's amassed the funds? Or is the problem that he spent the money on a Lamborghini, whereas Billy Graham kept it, you know, in his assets so it was less flashy and obvious? I mean, which is the problem? Is it a problem if a minister is successful and racks up the money? Is that where the problem lies? Or is the problem lie that he didn't keep it in the bank account and gave it to his wife? And would you then condemn Billy Graham for amassing a $25 million net worth? And listen, don't send me a hate text. You're mocking Graham. I am not. I love Billy Graham. I've always admired him. It's a real bootstrap story, in addition to being a great story of spreading the gospel. However, I mean, the guy did die with a net worth of $25 million. He didn't buy flashy stuff. So again, what's the problem? Is the problem racking up the net worth when he should have given it to the poor? Bible says you'll have to answer for that, you know, in heaven. I mean, it does. Or is the problem spending it on flashy stuff instead of leaving it in investments and in the bank account? And would you be so quick to condemn Billy Graham for amassing that? I had a person earlier say, listen, this is why I don't contribute to Samaritan's Purse, because I've always known that Billy Graham was a multimillionaire. Again, net worth at his 99-year-old death, 25 whopping million. You could buy a lot of Lamborghinis for that. He could have gotten Ruth the $400,000 one instead of the $200,000 one. I mean, I'm just saying. So I just want to know, what is exactly the problem? The amassing of the wealth, the success, the building of the wealth, or the spending of it the way that he did? And would you not have a problem with it if he amassed that amount of wealth and just didn't spend it? Do you remember when the Saudi king died? It was disgusting. Everybody, the political class, the same people who gathered for McCain's funeral, the Bushes, the Obamas, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, flocked to be by the Saudi royal family's side. The same Saudi royal family who we can connect directly and financially in court cases by the victims of 9/11 have. That funded the very terrorist that came into our country and killed us. We can trace the funding through the embassy. And yet nothing was ever done about it. They didn't bat an eye, whether it was the Bushes, the Obamas, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, you know the gang. The folks from McCain's funeral, they gathered again that time. 3,000 of us died, they didn't bat an eye. Falling at the heels of their Saudi masters. It was disgusting. There has been more outrage, including from Lindsey Graham, over the death of this Khashoggi guy, who is all but a terrorist, than there was over the deaths of 3,000 of us. It is amazing to watch this. So Congress has just voted to punish Saudi Arabia because the prince allegedly killed or, you know, had killed Mr. Khashoggi, who, by the way, was not a U.S. citizen. He had a green card. The media has made it sound like he's a U.S. citizen. That's one of the very deceptive things they've done with the story. So anyway, Congress has just voted to punish Saudi Arabia by ending our support for the war in Yemen. I say, awesome, bring it. I mean, it's a good way to get to ending. We shouldn't be in Yemen. It's not our problem. It's not our business. So good. But they did that as a slap at Trump and to punish the Saudis. Okay, there's something you need to understand about all of this. This is just, again, the way the media manipulates you. It's a great example of that, by not adding perspective. Let's go back. Do you remember when Anwar al-Awlaki was killed? We droned him. Yeah, and Anwar al-Awlaki was the inspiration for the Fort Hood shooter for a lot of those folks. He had just direct connections to bin Laden, inspired terror, helped plan terror attacks. I mean, he was a mess. Fiery Islamic preacher. So we droned him. No big loss there. He met his demise in 2011. The problem, though, was also on the receiving end of the American drone strike in Yemen, ordered by President Obama, was his 16-year-old son, an actual American citizen, not a green card holder like Khashoggi. He was absolutely, totally, and completely innocent. Now, you may say, oh, cry me a river of tears, Tara, which was my reaction at the time, except now we are terribly concerned about Khashoggi. And Trump has been accused, oh, he's got business interests in Saudi Arabia. He's trying to just get rich. He's an evil guy. He's overlooking the murder. Well, okay. But these two situations are identical. I mean, why is it okay for Obama to drone an American citizen with no court order, no due process, and kill him? But it's not okay for the Saudi royal prince to allegedly have this guy killed. And I think the answer is in this American Thinker piece. See, the real problem the media has with the prince there in Saudi Arabia, he's a young guy, he's made a lot of changes. He's trying to separate church and state. In this case, mosque and state. And he's trying to separate mosque terrorism funding and state. For the first time since the founding of the kingdom, Saudi Arabia, 100 years ago, Islam in Saudi Arabia has been removed from its favored perch in the affairs of government. The royal prince has taken concrete steps to enforce growing separation of church and state in his nation, has arrested and prosecuted the wealthy patrons and donors of terrorism, the very terrorism we know they funded when they killed 3,000 of us. And yet still the Obamas and the Bushes and the Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell went and fell at the feet of the royal family. When it wasn't this guy running things, but it was the king who allowed the funding of the terror. I mean, you know what was so bad in Saudi Arabia? Their imams there issued a fatwa calling for what ended up being 9/11. They were going on television and demanding the killing of American people. And we asked them at the time, could you knock that off? It's embarrassing. So they cracked down on it. I mean, not the actual funding or the planning for 9/11 or the terrorism or the funding of the radical mosques and the message of kill Christians and Jews and Americans. No, they didn't knock the funding off or anything. They just toned it down a little bit. This prince, who's now running the country, has put the wealthy funders of Islamic terrorism in prison. Can you see why the left doesn't like him? He's also helping to broker peace with Israel. He's been a backer of Israel. See why they don't like him? Yeah. Now, Khashoggi. Oh, the dearly beloved Khashoggi, who wasn't even an American citizen like Awlaki's son, who was 16 and completely innocent when he was killed by Obama, but then nobody cared about that. Yeah, by the way, did you know that Khashoggi fought for Osama bin Laden? Did you know that? Now, that was before 9/11, granted. He fought alongside Osama bin Laden to help repel the Russians from Afghanistan. Was an apologist for Osama bin Laden his entire life. His rhetoric and Osama bin Laden's is often indistinguishable. He was a hardcore Islamic radical. But we're very concerned about his death, but not, again, concerned when Obama droned to death the American-born son of Awlaki. It's the same damn thing, but nobody cared. See the hypocrisy? Now, there were a few civil libertarians that had some stuff to say, and Rand Paul didn't like it, but nobody else cared. Well, where are these people today, then? Who's going to censure Obama for murdering an American citizen because he felt like it? Same thing. The prince did. The prince is probably baffled by this. So these same hypocrites who fell to their feet before these people who killed 3,000 of us, these political so-called leaders, are now totally upset over Saudi Arabia allegedly doing the exact same thing to a Saudi national, Jamal Khashoggi, a Saudi national guilty of every crime and a few more for which Awlaki paid with his life. A friend of Osama bin Laden fought alongside of him. They are beside themselves. 3,000 of us died. We didn't get near this big of a peep out of them. I mean, do you remember when we were just trying to allow the victims of 9/11 to sue the Saudi government? And it took 15 years to get a vote to do that? And what, this guy gets butchered? And we can somehow have a censure vote within a year? No, within months? Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, our political class values the life of this one terrorist, Khashoggi. Terrorist sympathizer. I'm going to hedge my bets here. I'm going to be conservative about it. Then they did about the 3,000 lives lost in those towers. Shame on them. Khashoggi was Muslim Brotherhood. He was committed to overthrowing the House of Saud. He was a proud friend of Osama bin Laden, fought alongside him, interviewed him multiple times, was able to walk in and out of the compound, no problem. Fought alongside him, but pre-9/11, but still, like I said. Throughout Khashoggi's career, this is American Thinker Today, his words and those of Osama bin Laden were largely indistinguishable in sentiment, purpose, and vitriol toward the West. More recently, Khashoggi became incensed over the progressive direction taken by Saudi Arabia's crown prince, bin Salman, who's, you know, again, trying to get the radical Islam and the terror funding gone, which he should be doing. We should be praising this guy. Yeah, we don't condone murder, and we certainly should sanction those who are directly involved in it, as Trump did. But come on. American Thinker writes, for the first time since the founding of the kingdom 100 years ago, Islam in Saudi Arabia has been removed from its favorite perch. And the crown prince is taking concrete steps to enforce a growing separation of church and state. Prosecuted those funding terror and initiated diplomatic overtures to the West and and Israel. If the crown prince did indeed order its death, it likely wasn't for the reasons Western media are reporting. Yeah, they always lie. But more likely due to his backdoor facilitation of a continued fair terror funding of Saudi origin through his so-called democracy-building organizations. This guy was funding terror, folks. Khashoggi was a dangerous Islamic ideologue whose employment as a journalist at the Washington Post gave him a platform for his radical Islamic thoughts. This is just amazing that Congress, 15 years it took him to let the victims of 9/11 sue the Saudi government. But somehow within months, they could put sanctions on Saudi Arabia for this and pull out of Yemen. Un-be-freaking-leavable. Texter writes, so Tara, a pastor buys a Lamborghini. I guess the vow of poverty or humbleness aren't that important anymore. Texter writes, God says it is easier to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. I don't think that means you can enjoy the wealth all your life and then give it to your family on your deathbed. Hypocrites. Texter writes, where'd it go? Oh, Tara, could you get Roger in the newsroom to sing Baby, It's Cold Outside? You may think you want to hear a thing like that, but trust me, you do not. Texter writes, Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. A lot of people still commenting on this minister buying the Lamborghini. Texter writes, don't know the answer of the Lamborghini or Billy Graham's financials. I do know the answer. No, I don't get that. Okay, Texter writes, Billy Graham's wealth came from real estate given by his wife's parents and is the home of his ministry and camp as well as his Christian radio ministry. Johnny Cash gave Billy a $5,000 suit and his wife a mink coat. Both were graciously returned as too extravagant for his lifestyle. Texter writes, wasn't Jamal a longstanding member of Hamas? Another Texter writes, could the Saudi Arabia... What? Texter writes, let me see, okay, this is what happens when I don't pre-check the text line, I just read as I go. Texter writes, Tara, I pray for you. As you have mentioned, you are maybe getting sick, first for you and second for the selfish reasons, as I do not want you to miss a day on the radio. Oh, well, that's sweet. I appreciate that. Texter writes, sounds like the CIA has been busy undermining the Saudis and Khashoggi. Yeah, no doubt, they're always there. Another Texter writes, hey, Tara, in your opinion, is the Bush family sadistically evil or just plain stupid? It depends on which one you're asking me about. Texter writes, Tara was the... Oh, we had no business going into Somalia either, but Bush the first bowed to the media narrative. This. Texter writes, I bet the preacher man got some mad lovin' after giving her the Lamborghini. Accordingly, gift is justified. Oh, my. All right. Lawson, you've been waiting on the line. Thank you very much. What do you think?
Hey, Tara. Thanks for having me on. I love your show. I was going to say a little bit about what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, but I think the texters pretty much covered it. The Bible is filled with examples of wealthy people that were given wealth by God. I mean, you've got Job, Abraham, King Solomon, all very wealthy people, but I think the key to understanding all this is that There are poor people who are controlled by money just as much as rich people are controlled by money.
Good point.
So it's how you see the money in your heart. I personally think that buying a Lamborghini is not a great example of that. But you know, it's what you do with the money that God has given you. And I just, as an example and as a leader of the community, I think the preacher made a poor choice in this example.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Lawson, because I have always been confused, is the wrong word, because I'm not confused. I've always kind of questioned that in the Bible because, you know, you see the whole, the you know, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, a rich man to get into heaven. But then you have King Solomon, who is incredibly wealthy, and God loves him so much that he says, hey, you know, dude, what do you want? I love you. I'm going to give you anything. And offered him even more money, more wealth, control of the whole earth. And he said, I think I'll have wisdom. You know, and so obviously Solomon was going to be making his way through the eye of the needle. I mean, it's very contradictory if you read the Bible on that. It's hard to come away. So, I mean, the way I look at it, looking at Solomon and the stuff that's said in the Bible, what God must mean is you can have money, but you got to love me more than the money. That's the only way I can take it because it's so contradictory to me. But I've always been fascinated by that contradictory message in the Bible. So, you know, going to be interesting to see how this one turns out. No doubt they will investigate the preacher. See where that $200,000 came from. I mean, tax folks. Texter writes, I think the pastor's wife also made a poor choice. She should have given the car back. Yeah, interesting the giving of the car on Instagram, too. I mean, definitely a call for attention. You know, I mean, if you love your wife and you want to honor her, I guess I can see doing it publicly that way to honor her. But then on the other side, there's the sort of ostentatious look at me and how much I love my wife thing. That sort of bothers me, too. It might have bothered me just as much if he gave her a $200 ring. You know what I mean? It's just putting it online. I mean, you don't need everybody to know you love your wife. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I've just been, I can't get off this story because I keep getting so many texts about it. Texter writes, you got Jim Baker on TV every day pitching 5-gallon buckets of survival food for $1,000 each. You can buy them online from the company for $100. Is that how much survival food costs now? I'm not going to be able to survive if it is. Texter writes, let's see Trump sing Baby It's Cold Outside. I think they would impeach him for that. I think they, I mean, I'm not sure, but I think they would.